days, perilous times shall come. They're here. You say, well, tell us about it. Turn on your television. We're close to anarchy. And that's, you know, when I was growing up, they taught that. They said, now, we're going to have some day where it's going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to come try to drag you out in the street for what you believe. Well, I don't know if we'll make it that far, but we're pretty close. And the truth of the matter is, we've got to expect some persecution. We've got to understand that that's part of our lives. And it's something that we're going to have to learn to do. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. When I was a young man, I didn't love anybody but myself. And when God called me to preach, I didn't love anybody but myself. Let me tell you what I've learned. The only reason I love God, according to scriptures, is because he first loved me. God's humbled me. You say, well, how? Man, he's made me see what a rotten booger I was and am. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, he goes on to tell you that you're no longer under his condemnation, because when you got saved, the condemnation took away your sins before, after, during, and that's the wonderful thing. And Leland knows that. That's what I've been praying for all these years, Leland. He says, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Well, even though I was raised in the time that this article you're going to get at the end was written, you know what happened? I wasn't disobedient to my parents. You know why? Because I loved them. But the real reason was I didn't want my bottom tanned. Blasphemers. When I learned to say GD, it bothered me and I didn't quite understand why. But in any case, pretty soon I understood why the first time they ever heard me say anything like that. Proud? Man, I was proud. I could outrun anybody in our block. And I had very short legs. Boasters. I boasted all the time. I could make a carbon bomb. I could do all that stuff. Man, I was a boaster. I didn't know that I was that bad. You know, when you're first born, you come into the world, all you know is, ah! And you have no idea that you're corrupt. You have no idea. And your parents pick you up and say, oh, isn't he cute? Or isn't she cute? And that little cute booger, when he grow up, is just as mean as a rattlesnake once they pass the age of accountability. And that's when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him. I thank God he got a hold of me when I hit about 8 years old or 7 years old. Okay, but I didn't get saved till I was 12. I tried for 4 years after I knew that Jesus was his son. I tried real hard to please him so that I could go to heaven. And finally I figured out he pleased God for me. And I just accepted it and went on. And life was great. Until I put the yoke on. I got baptized later on, and I was saved when I was 12, and I got baptized when I was 23 properly. And when I got baptized, guess what happened? Before I got baptized, he started bugging me about it. And I knew I didn't have to be baptized to be saved, but in that yoke, it's a double yoke. And pretty soon, he started laying it heavy on me. And when I was 12 years old, I went up and repented. Man, I just repented. I just gave up everything. When I was 23, I got scripturally baptized. I'm a slow learner. This is a process that you go through. When you get baptized, you're not when you get baptized, you're saved. Not by baptism, but by the fact that you repented toward God and put your faith in Jesus Christ and called on him to save you. That's why you get saved. So he says, unthankful, unholy. I never really appreciated my grandparents until I got away from up there, the raising. And then I appreciated them very much because I was prepared for a world to go out into it. Let me tell you, Father, something, and I'll tell you without reservation or hesitation. You had better set an example for your children. You had better show a church attendance record where they know you came. I don't care why you started coming, but you're here now, and you need to set an example for them. So your children that love you dearly, some of you are wonderful parents. I don't denounce that. All of you are. But the truth of the matter is, I remembered the example that my grandparents set for me, and that's why I'm here today, because the Lord used that to let me know it was right. Without natural affection, they have, right now, you've got people that have sexual relations with animals. You've got men and women that have sexual relations together and get married. You've got everything that's wrong. They'd have probably killed somebody if they'd have called them back when I was a boy. I want you to read this thing. You say, well, they were just too hard. No, they weren't too hard in the Old Testament either. God tried to get their attention in the Old Testament, and now that we know the truth, we don't have to take them outside the gate and stone them, but we do have to understand the problem they've got. False accusers. Man, I've been false accused in this church, and it's really hurt me. It hurts anybody that's false accused. I'm hurt when I'm guilty, but when I'm false accused, how do you think I feel? How do you think it hurts when I know it? I'm not guilty? Incontentant. That means just completely worthless. Fierce. You know what happens to a person when they're a false accuser? They eventually get fierce. They may put on a good front outside and say, I just love you. But when they get offended themselves, they're fierce. Despisers of those that are good. This is the generation that we're in. Now, I'm preaching this not to make you feel bad, but to make you understand that this is something that every one of you and myself needs to be aware of. Because we got a battle to fight, and it's real and it's genuine. Traitors. What about that old boy that got over there and we did all that stuff we did to get him back and come to find out he was a traitor? You know who I'm talking about. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You say, oh, that's those mean old people out there with duress. No. These are pictures that love the world more than they love God. They love mammon more than they love God. Having a form of godliness. They have churches for people that fit, if you want to read it sometimes, the first chapter of Romans, that fit the characteristics of those that were before the flood. And if you want to read about having a form of godliness, there are people that are just like those that came at Sodom and Gomorrah and tried to drag those two angels out of the place. They're just like that. They have a form of godliness. They have churches. They worship in them. But they don't know God. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what kind of power God has got? Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Then he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you want to know what I teach here, I teach, we don't take them out and stone them outside the gate. But we do practice discipline. It's not harsh discipline. It's not cruel discipline. It's not like I was taught when I was raised up where they wanted to exclude my grandfather. For actually, he was a missionary Baptist. He was a landmarker. For actually, they wanted to exclude him for playing old maid's cards. I've told you that so many times. They found out about it and made a motion to exclude him. They excluded two girls outside of Southern Baptist Church because they saw him outside the church and the girls never even went in. Well, we practice discipline. But we have learned how to do it in love, and we do it. And the people that know we're doing it, and they know why we're doing it, and I've never seen anybody get their feelings hurt about it. And we practice discipline, and we follow the law. We follow the content of it. He says, for of this sort are they which creep into churches and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, listen. Please read this. And if you come to Sunday school, I promise you, you'll get a blessing. Because this man, he just keeps telling me, you're going to give me the big head. Don't do that, Brother Tom. Don't do that. He's very humble about it. He understands something that I understand. If I got my messages because of my meteorological or because of my geological training or because of my higher education, they wouldn't be worth a plug nickel. God had me do that because I needed to tell the world that the world's going to be destroyed by God. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's the truth. Now, that's where I get my messages, because if you look in the Bible, that's exactly what it teaches. Now, I hope you'll take that home, read it, particularly those of you that are young. I'm not picking on you, but if you think your dad is giving you a hard time or your mom, thank God they are, because we still have some parents that teach their children what they should do. Now, I was raised in a church I thought was too extreme, excluding somebody for playing old mates cards or something like that. But when we grew up, that's wrong. And to see two girls outside a Southern Baptist church that don't go in, you don't exclude people for stuff like that. Now, you say, well, what do you do? Just find out if they ever go there. Don't jump to conclusions and take your time about excluding them. But we do. Matthew 11, 28. This is no time to be forsaking our assembling together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For 4 years, I guess I'm not very smart, because I didn't really start getting under heavy conviction until I was about 7 years old. But people do get under conviction earlier. I acknowledge that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Man, I was so burdened with a heavy laden of guilt and sin. Guess why? I couldn't go to picture shows. Ooh. You say, well, that's silly. Oh, is it? They didn't sell any booze on Sunday. Ooh. And there were restrictions as to what they could sell even during the week. And we didn't mow the lawn on Sunday. We didn't work on Sunday. Preacher usually came home with us to eat. Papa Mike was a deacon at a Missionary Baptist church. He was a landmarker. And I'm just as strong a landmarker as he was now. But when I was growing up, I thought, Lord have mercy, what they going to get me on next? Well, they taught me to say sir to my elders and to call them Mr. and Mrs. They taught me that. So Peck Metcalf, who was a close friend of my grandfather, he'd talk to me when Papa Mac wasn't around. He'd say, Tom, call me Peck. I said, no, I'm not allowed to do that. He said, Tom, Mac, it'll be all right. He said, call me Peck. I was sitting on the front porch one day, and he and Grandfather were sitting over there in lawn chairs on the front porch. And he said something to me, and I said, what'd you say, Peck? Oh, I thought the world had come to an end. I never got so much of a lecture. I thought I was going to hell. I thought, Lord have mercy. And I didn't deserve that. But anyway, after it was all over, I thought, well, I sure ain't going to call him Peck. And I knew there was something wrong with it because Papa Mac said so. You say, well, most of your teaching, where'd it come from? Read this and you'll find out. I thank God that he gave Leonard that message this morning. Not Leonard, but I'll get it right in a minute. Okay. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know what my problem was? I was not meek and lowly in heart, even when I was saved. I was saved at age 12. But I tell you, when I started to get meek and lowly in heart, when I felt so bad because I just kind of fiddled around after I got away from my harsh raising, and I didn't go to church all that much. Well, God had called me for a special purpose, and boy, he laid down on me. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to take that yoke on me. I did that when I submitted to baptism. Baptism is not a sacrament, it's an ordinance. And when I submitted to baptism, I went ahead and I said, okay, now I put my head in the yoke. But I didn't know that it was a double yoke. Nobody ever told me. I'm not blaming anybody. Yeah, I am, I guess. That's what the first thing Adam did and Eve did. I blame them for not teaching me that was a double yoke. I don't blame them now. I was wrong to even blame them. I should have studied and found out for myself. So I said, okay, it's nobody's fault but mine. And I learned to trust God to pull. God had all the power in heaven and earth. So I learned to let him do the pulling. You say, how'd you learn that? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, I began to learn about Jesus. That actually is a Greek preposition of. It's also translated legally as a Greek preposition as from. Back then, if you were a disciple of Socrates, you'd say you were a follower of Socrates. So of or from doesn't make any difference. And learn of me. You know what I learned? God is meek and lowly. he made himself meek and lowly and took upon himself the form of a man who was sinless. He had no sin either as a man in physical flesh or as God who is a spirit. And in Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I learned that. You know what I also learned? When he saved me, he took away all my sins, not part of them. You say, well, did you still sin? Yeah. But when I got saved, Jesus Christ took away my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins, and I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. So I said, well, you know, I'll do this. So, man, I surrendered to preach. I knew that's what he wanted me to do. I didn't want to because I had a fairly good education, and I thought, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. No. You're going to do this. And so I said, okay. So I got in that yoke, and here's what I didn't realize. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. They taught me about the Great Commission and so forth and so on. You got more teachings on that than Carter's got liver pills. So what did I do? I said, okay, I'm going to read this. I studied the Greek language in seminary. I studied the Hebrew language. This is the Greek language. And I said, I want to know what God says. He says, go ye therefore. Okay. You know what that means in English? Same thing it does in the Greek language. Therefore. What does that therefore refer to? Let me tell you exactly. Without question. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Okay, that's what it refers to. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Go and teach all nations. Good, teach all nations. What do I teach? I teach that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. That's what I teach. You say, well, I thought all power belonged to God. You're absolutely right. And that is precisely who Jesus Christ was. That's precisely who he was. You say, could you give me another example? Yeah, I can. And being found in fashion, this is in Philippians, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. It's Philippians 2, I believe. And being found in fashion as a man, who's this thee? Jesus Christ. He's God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You say, well, all power in heaven and earth is given to him. That's what's so amazing. God humbled himself to be a man in sinless flesh and live there and fulfilled the office of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He fulfilled all three. Saying, all power is given to me in heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What does this church teach? After you get saved, the burden has been relieved. You don't have to worry about that big yoke that's about this heavy laden anymore. Oh, you confess your sins when you sin. You say, well, I don't sin after I get saved. Yes, you do. You're lying to me right now. You have evil thoughts after you're saved. Even after when you go to church and everything, you have evil thoughts. You think you get mad at somebody, and later on you learn you're wrong. And then you say, I shouldn't have done that. And then you ask God to forgive you, and he does. We don't exclude somebody for getting mad at somebody. Lord have mercy. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So what happens? You're supposed to say, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does. You say, well, what if I'm driving home and I haven't asked for forgiveness and run into a tree? Good gravy, you're not under the condemnation anymore. But, you know, you should have confessed right after that and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and you got no problem whatsoever. You're still going to heaven. But look at who your God is. Look how merciful he is. Look how wonderful he is. You say, well, I did this and I did that. You didn't do anything. You just accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, am I going to heaven? Absolutely. Because when you got saved, all your sins, past, present, and future, relieved you from under the condemnation of God. It didn't mean you lost your carnal nature. It just meant that you had an avenue of escape that was complete and full. You say, well, then I'll sin some more. Listen, if God had made the plan where it was dependent upon you not sinning anymore, every one of you sitting here and myself would have flat gone to hell. I guarantee you. But God is merciful. God is compassionate. He says, and of baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. You wonder why sometimes these people that were baptized in the name of Jesus, it didn't make them be rebaptized? Because that's who Jesus is. He has fulfilled the three offices. What do we do in this church? We don't baptize in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call him. We baptize in his name. You say, why? That's exactly what the Bible says. Well, what is his name? In Genesis chapter 1 and 1, it says his name is, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The word for God that is used right there is the word Jehovah. You say, well, what about that? You got more names for God and for Jesus than Carter's got liver pills. And if you look at Revelation 9, 6, and 7, it says very clearly, and to us, Israel, a son is born, a child is given. What does it say about him? It indicates very clearly that he would be called Almighty God. It says you can't do that. Yes, you can. But I don't address him. I just call him Father. You say, well, why do you do that? That's what it says to do. You say, you follow it explicitly. Well, it's not hard to do. That's the way I pray. I address him as my Heavenly Father because he is. I just believe that's what I'm supposed to do. You say, well, I'm going to call him Jesus. Go right ahead. I don't have any problem with it because he is God. So he says, unto us a child is given, a son is given, a child is given, and he shall be called Almighty God. It continues, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It says, the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus was and is and always shall be. And then what's it say next? The Counselor. You know what he does? He counsels me all the time. You say, does he speak to you? No, he doesn't speak to me. I just read this book. You say, do you ever get anything wrong? Yeah, I get things wrong. You say, well, what do? I tell you I was wrong. I don't hesitate because I don't get embarrassed by it anymore. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And when I've discovered, I just tell you I'm wrong and I tell God, he already knows it. And you forgive me and we just go on and I teach you what he's taught me. You say, have you ever changed your mind about something more than once? Yeah, I have. You say, well, you must be from the devil. No. You're never going to learn anything if you don't change your mind. When I was a young preacher, Lord have mercy, the stuff that I thought was wild. I don't mean sinful or anything, but man, I had scripture so mixed up. You say, well, how'd you learn it? God showed me I was wrong. You say, how does he do that? Well, he's just in me all the time. Who's in you? Well, let's consider another one of his names. He said, Comforter. That's what it says in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. The Comforter. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. He fulfilled three offices. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Why do you think he tried so hard to tell Thomas? He said, Thomas, I have to go now. Thomas wanted to go right then. He said, Thomas, he said, if I don't go now, I can't help you then. And Bobby went. And he fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere right now. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, but he's here right now. The word is being preached, and this is his local church, and he's here right now. And if you want to join a church that teaches the truth, I'd recommend this church if you're in one that doesn't teach the truth. If you're in another Missionary Baptist church, I'm sure not trying to solicit you out of that church, because we've had more trouble out of people that have joined this church from other churches than we have from people who got saved here and came here and were scripturally baptized. You say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. Just ask any of the members. No, don't ask them. Just drop the subject and go on, because you've got to understand that. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He's here right now. You say, where? He's here. You say, where else is he? He's in every one of you that believes he's the Son of God and has asked him to save you. That's where he is. He's in me right now. So he's everywhere. You say, how can that be? He's everywhere. He's the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. Who do you think comes in you when you respond to his conviction? He says, and hath given us not, and has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and of love. What did he say? By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. You know when he gave that? Just before the 14th chapter. And Judas had all of John. And Judas had already gone out. Read it for yourself. And so there it is. A new commandment, he said. 13th chapter of John. A new commandment. New? No, it was just a consolidation of all of them that you can put in one place. He said that a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know why I love him? Because he first loved me. That's what the scripture says. That's why I love him. You say, did you know that? No, I didn't know that when I came up here, but now I know. And now I understand why Peter kept telling him he phileoed him rather than agape'd him. Now I understand that. And of a sound mind. You say, what happens to those people who are saved and they go crazy? Do you think God is a coconut? Do you think God doesn't have any sense? I'm sorry to put it that way. Forgive me, Lord, if that's wrong. But God is very merciful. When you're first born, he doesn't hold you accountable until you hit the age of accountability. If you lose your mind before you die, you're just as saved as you were before you lost it. You say, well, the Bible is not all that complicated, is it? Man has complicated it. Man has complicated it. And my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, I'm a sixth-generation missionary Baptist, and he was a missionary Baptist, and he rode on a mule all over the place as a missionary, down in northeastern Arkansas and also up in southeastern Missouri. You know what they said about him? They said, we love to hear him teach and preach because he makes it plain. He makes it simple. You know what's happened? We had complicated the gospel. You know where I got a lot of my teachings? It was handed down from generation to generation to generation. That's why I'm a landmarker. That's why I want you to read this thing. You say, well, I want to do what God wants. Read this thing right here that he talked about. It's not the Bible, but you'll discover what God wanted you to do. Now, there are some things in here that you may not agree with. Well, there's some things in there I may think were a little too hard, but that's just what I think. It's not what I know. I was raised under this. And where am I now? Right here. You know what I'm doing? I'm teaching you that God has not given us the spirit of power, but of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know what? I am a bondservant. I didn't know that the night I was saved. I'm a bondservant. You say, is that the real meaning? It's slave. But in those days, it was bondservant. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't run away from church. Don't quit attending the church. This is no time to be forsaking our assembling together. The devil is working hard on the churches. He's coming. He's affecting members in the church. He's leading them away from the church. He's leading them away from the truth. After you get saved, there's nothing that God, the devil, can do to get you out of Christ. So he does the next best thing in his mind. That is to keep you from giving glory to Christ. That's why I encourage people to join a church that believes what we're teaching here. It's not because I want to put your name up on a board. We don't even keep attendance boards. That's not why. We want you to know what God wants you to do. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You better thank God he didn't call you according to your works. Because God called you because he saved you and he wanted to be in you in such a way that he could influence those works and they could be the works that he performed in you and you would know that you weren't performing them. But according to his own pleasure and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, before the world began, God determined that he knew Adam would sin. You say, well, why didn't he just make us all robots? How would you like to have somebody love you because you made them love you? God made man. God knew what he would do. That's foreknowledge. Predestination is not foreknowledge. God knew Adam would sin. You say, well, why didn't he do something? He did. In the very first chapter, he said that he would take on the let us, plural, make man in our blood flowing image, in our earth becoming image. Now, God took on the form of a man in the Virgin Mary's room, and throughout the entire time, you say, well, he prayed to the Father. How is that possible? He was talking to the Father to set us an example of how we should pray. I don't mean say the whole Lord's Prayer, but he was doing it for that reason. You say, well, you must be out of your mind. Oh, no, if I was the only one that ever taught this, I would be out of my mind. But they taught this in North Africa. They taught that in the first scriptural churches. They taught that in the New Testament. You say, well, the disciples didn't mention it much during the Gospels. No, they didn't understand it either. And finally, after he went into heaven, he told Thomas, you'll understand it then. You'll understand it. That old song, understand it better by and by. Well, by and by in the New Testament, they came to understand it. Well, you say, why are you telling us this? You can come to understand this. And the truth of the matter is, it's what God wants us to do. He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He told Thomas, he that hath seen me. Thomas said, well, I don't understand. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He also told through John, I and the Father are one. Then they took up stones to actually stone him. The problem is, they didn't mind him being Messiah. They didn't stone him for that. He claimed to be God. They didn't believe that. The disciples believed it firmly after that. But they were saved back then because a lot less was required. And a lot more is going to be required of you, each one of you, and of me, because now God has come and manifested himself to man. And if you want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus Christ. That's why we started this school here. That's why we did it. We wanted people to understand. He says, who hath abolished death? Well, death, eternal separation from God, is abolished. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm not going to hell. You say, well, what about the inheritance? That's why he's called the firstborn. He's the only man who ever lived that rightfully received the full inheritance. Do you know why he lets you preach and teach the gospel and serve him in the yoke? He wants to share the inheritance with you. How much do you want? You say, well, can I get the full inheritance? Sorry, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and Paul admitted he sinned, and it was tough. But I tell you what, you can get as much of a reward as you're willing to serve God in the yoke. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I'm not an apostolos. They were specially equipped. I have Jesus Christ living inside me, and I'm a teacher of the Gentiles, or Jews, or anybody else that will listen. But I'm not an apostolos. I'm just a man that God made to see what a rotten booger he is and how much God loves him and taught me why he loved me. God loved me because I wasn't capable of loving. And God, I only love God because he first loved me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm preaching. That's why I'm teaching. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You know what they could do to me for what I'm preaching right now? They could banish me from preaching. It's gotten that bad in this country. Because what I'm preaching here is that those people in the first chapter of Romans, they are headed for hell if they don't repent. For I know whom I have believed. Well, I do too. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You want to see where that word keep is used elsewhere in the Bible? Look at when the seed in the 8th chapter of Luke is used. Look at the last one. That was the only one that brought forth fruit. The only one. You know why? Because they kept the truth until they died. And that woman, the person that's mentioned there, man or woman, they loved the word of God, and they brought forth fruit. You want to produce fruit? You better hustle. Because I'm telling you, you don't have much time left. You want to set an example before your children? You better be careful. You say, preacher's been saying that for years. Yeah, and they were right. We never have known the day, week, month, year, and I can't tell you that, but I can tell you it's near, which I have committed unto him against that day. See that word, no? It's doulo. It means to cause to become a bondservant. You know who caused me to realize what I am? The Spirit of God. You know when he revealed it to me? After I was baptized and after I was in church and realized that I wanted to be a great Sunday school teacher. But it didn't work out that way. When I went back to seminary, I knew I was God called. And I knew it. And when I went and I talked to my pastor about it, he said, well, he said, if you're all that sure, he said, I want you to preach Wednesday night. And I didn't know what to say. I said, well, God will kill me. He said, Tom, he won't kill you. He said, get up there. I guarantee you'll be all right. He said, okay. I said, okay. I got up there and preached. From the instant I stepped down, finished that message, and stepped down the pulpit, I'm telling you straightforward, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that I am called of God to preach the gospel. Sometimes you have to do something in order to finally figure out that you really are. I was afraid to preach it because I was afraid. If I'm not called, I'm doing the wrong thing. I am doing the right thing. Have been trying to do the right thing, and I've learned more about it since I started. You need to be in a church that teaches the truth. I'll tell you point blank, you need to be in one. Whether you end up in one or not, that's your business. But I'm telling you, the Word of God indicates you should be. The word persuaded is mean to be convinced. To be convinced. You say, have you ever doubted your salvation? Oh my goodness, when I first got saved, I doubted it all the time. When I first came up here, I thought about it some, and I thought, are you sure you did the right thing? That's why I can tell you so much about yourself. And I thought, and finally I got realized, I'm convinced. You say, well, what does this mean? I know he's good. I know it's true. I know. Doulo. There are three different words used for that. Gnosko and epignosko and doulo. And this is one that lets you know. I'm convinced. You think I'd be sitting up here telling you this if I wasn't absolutely convinced? You say, well, I'm not convinced. Come to church and listen to the word preached. And you will be convinced. And once you're convinced, you'll thank God from the bottom of your soul that you let him convince you. It's not me that does the convincing, it's the word. Those numbers out in front are from the Strong's Exhaustive Lexicon. Abel, 1415. Dynatos. I'm persuaded, I'm convinced. The word keep up there, you'll find in Luke, the 8th chapter, I believe, down around verse 15. And it means to cause to be a bondservant, and it means to be convinced of it. And dynamos means the power of the mighty one. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. That's what Jesus said. He's in me. Now you know he's in you when you go to him. What are you going to do with the yoke? You going to get baptized properly? Or are you just going to keep on fighting it? It's up to you. It's not up to me. You say, well, you're trying to put the heat on me. No, I'm not trying to put the heat on you. I'm trying to tell you something that you desperately need to hear. What are you going to do with it? You going to keep making church something you come because you feel guilty? Are you going to come to church because you feel good that you're here and you're in the presence of the Lord and He's in your heart and you want to learn what He's got to say? This is a teaching church, always has been. You say, well, who got taught the most? Your pastor. Who had to learn the most? Your pastor. Who's as bad off as you are? Your pastor. I'm learning. And I'm telling you, we all need to learn. You never get to the point where you don't learn to learn anymore. Man, I tell you, I'm glad I understand that the only reason I love Jesus is because He first loved me. Don't you tell Patrick that I went over. Remember to pray for Patrick. He's going to have a rough time pastoring a church. All of us do.